serious when he said, you need to stay and eat with us today, okay? I mean, I can think of three good reasons why you should. One, you got to eat somewhere. Two, it's free. And three, you won't find any better company anywhere. So if you need me to go on, I can find some more. But I know some of you are thinking, but I didn't bring anything. Let me tell you what, this lady brought enough for everybody, all right? And she always gets to feel, well, what if somebody doesn't bring anything? And so she brings for everybody. And so they're cooking stuff and all that kind of thing. So you stay and eat with us. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Jake Brown was telling me he's gone to way to school up at the University of Missouri. Pray for him, too. And he said, you'll never guess what happened. He said, I found a Bible study in the dorm and went down to the Bible study, and he said, and we're going to be studying the book of John, okay? And he had been there, done that, you know. Then he goes to church, a big church across the town there, and he goes in, and the pastor gets up the first Sunday he's there, and he says, and today we're beginning a study through the book of John, verse by verse, okay? Jake gets it, he said. He gets it, all right. Well, that's what we're doing. We're John chapter 13 this morning, and by His grace, we'll finish the 13th chapter. We're going to look this morning at the ebb and flow of good intentions, and you'll see how that applies as we read. Read with me, starting in verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Jesus, he said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now. Now, those of you who have been with us know back in verse 33, the now wasn't there then, right? Okay. He said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Question mark. Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Jesus is still in the upper room. He's with the 11 now. Judas, the 12th, has already gone out to betray Jesus, to sell him literally for 30 pieces of silver, to give him over to the hands of the Jewish leaders, to do what they will. I don't know if Judas knew what was going to happen to Jesus, but he set it up so that he would betray Jesus in the dark of night in the Garden of Gethsemane, because they couldn't tell who Jesus was out there. And so Judas is gone, and it's just Jesus and the 11 now, and he says three things to them. One thing that he says to them, he tells them about his future condition. His future condition was that he would be glorified, and that by him being glorified, he would glorify his Father. He also told the 11 about his future destination. Pretty vaguely, though, he said, where I am going, that's all he said. And then, as we looked at last week, if you were with us, we've looked at those in previous weeks, he talked about his future desire for them. In fact, a new commandment. And we looked at last week to the Jewish people who were present, the 11 and Jesus, a new commandment is a big deal, all right? That his new commandment was that the disciples would love one another just as I have loved you, he said. You are to love one another. Now, the law had already said in Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. And what Jesus was talking about here was loving each other more than yourself, because that's what he did. He loved us more than himself because he gave his life for us. So, with that, Peter speaks up. Peter spoke up a lot. He got out of the boat on maybe more than one occasion, but at least on one. And did you notice that it's only Peter who responds to these three statements? None of the other disciples, the other 10, say a word. They're just, as we say today, as the kids say today, hanging out, I guess. I mean, here they are at the crescendo moment of God's creation. And they're just hanging out. Peter speaks up, though, and Peter doesn't address the three statements, only one of them. He only addresses one. He ignores the new commandment that Jesus had just given. Doesn't even register on his conscious wavelength, it doesn't appear. And he ignores the fact that Jesus is going to be glorified. That's pretty typical of us, isn't it? Somebody gives us something that's great news, like I'm going to be glorified, and we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about something that's about us, and that's what Peter does. Where are you going? That's what he wants to know. It's a normal human question. You know, new commandment, okay. You're going to be glorified, okay. But where are you going? Why? Because I want to follow you. Boy, folks, I tell you what. When we can get beyond ourselves, when we can get beyond ourselves in dealing with one another, we're a long way toward where we need to be. Well, Peter's a human being. We're human beings. And like us, Peter, and Peter like us, and we like Peter, he wanted to know about the tangible, the measurable, and the observable issues. Isn't that what we're interested in? What's in it for me? What's it going to cost me? Is this worth the investment of my time, money, and that kind of thing? That's what Peter's wanting to know. So he ignores Jesus being glorified. He ignores loving one another. He just wants to know where Jesus is going. And I want to follow. That's what he's into. I do think it's interesting also, if you would accept this chasing rabbit thought, Jesus was only one out of the 11 who even spoke up. One out of 11. I can do the math on that. That's a little over 10%. Only one out of 11 who have heard the most stupendous things described in their lives and who had walked with someone who had done in their presence the most miraculous, stupendous things that they could have ever imagined, they don't say anything. They've had supper. They're not saying a word. But I couldn't help but think how descriptive maybe of our day that is. And I'm talking to myself now also. We get one out of ten. We're doing pretty good, aren't we? But only Peter spoke up. Here's what he said. He had a question. Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? He's going all the way back to 33, verse 33, if they were doing verses like we are, which they weren't. But he goes all the way back there. He said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus had said in verse 33, where I'm going, you cannot come. He said it once. And he'll say it again. And Peter, I think, is more than curious. He seems to be gathering information for his life, for his planning. He's planning his future. And he seems to be resolved that wherever Jesus is going, I'm going. I'm in. Listen, this guy had just witnessed some of the most miraculous things imaginable. Peter has walked on water. He has seen dead people raised to life. He has seen cripples healed and the blind see and thousands fed from nothing. He has seen water turned into wine. I mean, this has been some 3 years. If Jesus is leaving, I want to be with him. And I think, in part, that's the reason Peter's speaking up. We looked at a few weeks ago, if we were with us, where Jesus was going. He's going to Gethsemane, remember? What did he do in Gethsemane? That's a question and answer would be appropriate any time now. What's he going to do in Gethsemane? Resign to the Father's will. That's huge. You see, if he doesn't resign to the Father's will to go to the cross, we're without hope. But it's in Gethsemane. Peter followed him there. Peter didn't have to resign. He was supposed to pray, fell asleep instead, as we know. Jesus is also going to be arrested. Peter sets that one out. He doesn't go there. And Jesus is going to stand trial. Peter's not there either. He's going to go to the cross. Peter doesn't go there yet. He's going to go to the grave. Jesus is. Peter doesn't follow him there yet. And Jesus is going to go to the Father. That's what he was talking about here. So is Peter soon. Okay? So Peter wanted to follow Jesus. He stumbled around so far. He has made some just brilliant statements. You know, he's there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. It's good that we're here. Let's build three tabernacles. Oh, he was into that. Okay? He didn't know what he's doing, but he's into that big time. Jesus says to him now, though, where I'm going, you cannot come. Can you imagine what that did to Peter? It's over, guys. I'm leaving, I'm going, and you cannot come. Peter kind of takes that personally in a way, you might say. He wants to know where. He wants to know why he can't go. You know, I don't fault Peter for that. Don't you and I want to know about our futures? Huh? Some of you need to plug your ears right now. I want to talk to the folks who aren't in this condition. Don't you want to know who you're going to marry? Young folks? Huh? Huh? Or what you're going to be doing for a living? Or where you're going to live? Or how many kids you're going to have? Or whatever? We want to know about our futures as well. We want to know what's out there before us. Peter, I'll give him a break here. I think that's what he's wanting. He wants to follow Jesus because he's seen what has happened, and it was pretty good. He'd like to continue this. And Peter is not where Jesus is because Jesus knows that it's not 3 more years or 6 more years or 12 more years of the same 3 he's experienced. That's over. That's over. Well, Jesus says to Peter, when Peter says, where are you going? He said, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. You see, Peter sought permission for action. He was seeking Jesus' permission to follow. Jesus doesn't answer him that way. He shifts context. He goes to time frame and cost. Don't you hate to talk to people like that? You ask them an honest question, and they answer another question that you haven't asked. That's what's going on here. Peter wanted permission for action. But Jesus doesn't answer that question. He answered him with the time frame. You'll follow me afterward. And what it's going to cost you. He goes into that. You'll follow me afterward, but not now. Peter is going to go to all of the places Jesus was going. Certainly he went to Gethsemane. We know he was there. Because he took Peter, James, and John with him even a little farther into the garden, remember? And Peter is also going to go to a cross. Tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down. He's going to the cross. Because he died on that cross of martyrdom, he's going to go to the grave. And because he was in the grave and in Christ Jesus, he too is going to go to the Father. So he does follow him, but not right now. You see, he's going to follow Jesus also. Jesus was going to die for a cause. What was that cause? To die for the sins of the world. Your sins. My sins. That's what's going to happen when he goes to the cross. Do you know that all of those sins that you have committed and that I have committed have been paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's his cause. That's what he came to do. He came to die. And if you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin cover, that blood covers your sin. And you remember a few weeks ago we celebrated the Lord's table, and we didn't anticipate the number of folks here. We ran out of the grape juice. We did, okay? And some didn't get the juice. But just because we ran out of that which represents Jesus' blood, his blood is abundant and never runs out. And that's the cause that Jesus came for. Now, Peter's also going to die for a cause. Peter will die for the one who was the sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's his cause. Jesus died for the sins. Peter's going to die for the one who died for the sins. He died for the cause of Christ. And so each of them died for a cause. And as I was looking at that this week, I thought, well, you know, when you come to think about it, everybody dies for a cause. You know, there are people who die because a physical body wears out. They die because of a bad choice, because of a thrilling experience, skydiving, parachute doesn't open, that kind of thing. They die because of an accident. They die because of an incurable disease or illness. I guess everybody dies because of something. But folks, what we're talking about is giving our lives for a cause, as Peter did, as Jesus did. The cause being a commitment to. There are people doing that today in other parts of the world. Maybe here, I don't know, but certainly in other parts of the world. Some of whom we know about, many we don't, but many are. Dying for the cause of Christ. If you want to live, is what they're being asked, okay? Then you have to convert. This has been going on for centuries, okay? You have to convert to the Muslim religion. And if they say no, they die for the cause of Christ because they will not renounce the name of Jesus. Are those days in our future? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that we're not excused from the potential of those days. If I were you, I would project ahead to the possibility of those days and make your decision now. You wait to then. The fear, I don't know. But each of them died for a cause. And if you think about it, those other three things, the other two things that Jesus talked about, you'll follow me but not now, okay, he said to him. If you think about it, Peter loved Jesus more than he loved himself. He fulfilled that new commandment because Peter, and at least, let me see, all except John, okay, of the 11 remaining, died a martyr's death. They died for the cause of Christ as Peter is going to. So he fulfilled the new commandment. He loved Jesus more than he loved himself, for he too gave his life for Christ. And then when you think about it, Jesus was going to be glorified. Peter's going to go there as well. What's the end point of salvation according to Romans? There's salvation when you are freed from the penalty of sin. There is sanctification when you're freed from the power of sin, you were saved, you're being saved, and what's the end place? Glorification. Peter is going to be glorified as Jesus was glorified, meaning they were both glorified. That doesn't bother you at all? Maybe a little, amen? I tell you what, I got a hold of that and I thought, whoa! This is huge! Peter didn't know it, but Jesus was telling him up in the room everything Peter wanted to know, and that was his future. He told him his future. You're going to follow me and die like I died? You're going to love me more than you love yourself? And you're going to be glorified. Amen. He continues. Peter does. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus responds to that statement. Will you lay down your life for me? Question mark. Truly, truly, Jesus said to Peter, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Wow. You know, I don't know if Peter is making a prophetic statement here or some off-the-wall emotional boast. Seems to be maybe a little bit of the latter. Knowing what Jesus knew and what Peter would do, it sounds like the latter. He had good intention, didn't he? Do you have a little book where you keep your good intentions? Not that I do, but if I did, it would be pretty big. A lot of scratch-throughs. Okay? We have good intention, don't we? We really do. You know, every New Year's, you know, some people make resolutions or whatever, okay? But I'm talking spiritually. We have good intentions. I'm going to pray more. I would imagine that every one of us in this room have had that intention. But we just get busy. I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm going to read the New Testament through. I'm going to memorize the Scripture. Or what we have good intentions. I'm going across the street and talk to my neighbor. Don't we? We have good intentions. Peter had good intentions. But just the same, he did deny Jesus three times. But wait a minute. Actually, wait about 50 days. From this night. Give or take, the Bible scholars quibble with me on this. I'm rounding it to 50 up or down, okay? In about 50 days from this night, Peter is going to be able to fulfill the intentions that he had this night. He wasn't able to before. He wasn't prepared. And we'll look at just what prepared him in just a minute. You see, he couldn't fulfill his intention to follow Jesus until the Lord did something in his life so that he would fulfill those intentions. It's after a day called Pentecost, which occurs about 50 days after this night, give or take, okay? It's after Pentecost, when Peter and 119 other people were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem. They were told to go there and wait for the promise of the Father. They did. They obeyed. I looked at my life, and there's a lot of times I don't even go to the room. You know, going and waiting. Do you handle that well? I don't. But they were told to go and wait, and they did. And I would, you know, wonder if the business they conducted there was appropriate, but that's not for today and now, okay? But they went there and they prayed. And after a while, God the Holy Spirit fell. You Pentecostals are getting excited now, aren't you? Huh? The Spirit of God fell. And there were tongues like fire that sat on each of them. Okay? Now, that's what they did after that happened. You Pentecostals, I don't know what they did. They spoke in tongues. No. They spoke the gospel in languages so that all the people who had gathered in Jerusalem from every corner of the Jewish realm heard them. I would submit to you folks, and this is not a Baptist thing, okay? I would submit to you, it's a Bible thing I believe, that the miracle of Pentecost was the filling of the Holy Spirit on those gathered there and the hearing in their own languages. That miracle doesn't register on your miracle chart? You want a little more pizzazz in it? I want to tell you something today. If there's some people in another land who do not speak English and you go there, you may be given the gift of speaking so that they can hear the gospel. I'm not closing any doors on He who spoke everything into existence. But Peter and the 119 others were empowered by the Holy Spirit just as He desired, He wanted. That's what they're waiting for. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And they did, and they were. And 3,000 people were saved in one day. And then daily, those that were being saved, Jewish people in Jerusalem, were being saved. As I said before, it's estimated in a town of maybe 200,000 or whatever, 100,000 of the people came to faith in Jesus Christ. But they didn't get to stay, did they? They didn't get to stay. Because the kingdom was to be advanced throughout the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. These 11 didn't have a clue what that meant. So desire, Peter's desire, has to be fueled by empowerment. Did you ever think that the reason that we are not doing that which is powerful is because of the absence of the Holy Spirit? Now, wait a minute. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to learn this in John in a few years when we get over there to chapter 17, okay? That He's leaving, and when He leaves, He will send another like Him. Paraclete, one like me, and He will be in you, and He will speak of me, Jesus said. Hello. The Holy Spirit came to live in you when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. And He is a person. You don't divvy Him up in installments. He is He, and He is there, and He ain't leaving. Do we get that? You see? Now, what may happen, and too often does tragically, doesn't have to, we quench the Spirit. Because He's there. But unconfessed sin will quench the Spirit. Being filled with ourselves will quench the Spirit. That's why Paul said, don't be drunk with wine where it excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let Him dominate you, just like a drunk person is dominated by the alcohol. And so the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that brought those people to Christ in Jerusalem is available in the same power in our lives today. And only when empowered was Peter equipped to defeat the enemies of fear and pain and doubt and loss of this world's treasures that he would have to pay to follow Jesus. Peter wanted to go. He wasn't ready to go. Before you go, I need to spend time asking for his anointing on my going, on your going. And when you go, empowered by the Holy Spirit, hang on, world. Hang on, devil. And hang on, flesh. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Not because I'm a big deal or you're a big deal, but because he who is a big deal is in you. So Peter is going to follow, but he's going to be an empowered Peter who follows. So what about you and me? Do you and I understand the destiny that comes with loving Jesus more than we love ourselves? Do we understand that? Again, have you paid the price already in your minds? What if it comes down to those Syrian refugees who are being placed here, what, Chuck, 100,000 this year, 750 or 70 and 100, several hundred thousand the plan is? What happens if, and I saw the number last night, 2 out of 100 are planted by ISIS in those Syrian refugees that are going to Europe and would come to America. Just 2. Do you know how many people it takes to pull the pin on an atomic bomb if you pull pins on atomic bombs? 1. Or whatever it is. Do we understand that we are marked individuals as followers of Christ? You say, why did you get into all that negative stuff? Folks, I'm not talking about negative stuff here. Do you think Peter was in a negative place when he gave his life for the cause of Christ? Hey, I don't want to die an old man picking up shells on a seashore somewhere. I want to burn out or burn up, whichever it may be. Do you? Do you? You say, you don't understand. I want to see my grandkids. Spend a day with them, then you won't. No. Take that out, Chris. Take that out, okay? I got 10 of those little beggars that may listen to this, okay? You know what I'm saying. Have you talked to your grandkids or your kids that you're willing to die for Christ? You think I never had that thought? Think about it. Can you give a greater legacy to your kids and grandkids that they know, sweetheart, Grandpa, Poppy, they call me different things, loves Jesus so much that he would die for Jesus? They may not understand that, okay? But they will. You see, can you think of a greater legacy, folks? Have you said to your husband or wife, sweetheart, if it comes down to some real tough times, I'll tell you where you can find me. In the jail or in heaven. No need to look anywhere else. How about you, sweetheart? Have you had that conversation with your spouse? I don't know those days are coming. I don't want them to. I don't want them to. But I don't know. every day it looks a little darker, doesn't it? Do we have the desire that Peter had? I think all of us say, yeah. I want to follow you. Do we have the intention that Peter had? I like what's been going on, Lord. Bring it on, you know. You picking up the meal tab every time? Free wine? You making it? Non-alcoholic, maybe, I don't know, okay. Or whatever else. Do you know that when Jesus went somewhere and he took anybody with him, Peter was one of them that went with him? He's on that inner circle. I mean, I can see him now just walking down the street. I'm with him. That kind of thing. He's just healed somebody from leprosy, or he's healed their eyes or whatever. I can't see Peter's heart, but I think that's what Peter's wanting to follow. When exactly the opposite is going to happen, he's going to follow Jesus in all the ways that Jesus said. He's going to be glorified because he's going to die and go to the Father, and he's going to go to a cross too. He didn't have a clue about that. I just believe that he didn't. Good intentions usually impress people, but God knows the heart. I got to reading over in Matthew as I was reading for this, and do you know all the other disciples said the very same thing? That they were going to follow Jesus too? They don't speak up here that we have recorded, but they had the same intent. And let me close with this. Jesus is not asking anything more of you and me than that which he did for you and me. He's not asking any more of you and me than that which he did for you and me. He died for us. Will we die for him? Let's pray. Lord, perhaps there are some, maybe even in this room, who would question, even scoff at some of the things we've brought up this morning. But Lord, many of your children around the world aren't scoffing. They're imprisoned or literally giving their lives for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we don't know what our days are going to hold. Father, I pray that our intention today would be willing to die for the cause of Christ. And if that day should come, that it wouldn't just be another good intention laid aside, but truly would be the action of our life. And we know, Father, that you're not going to bring any temptation into our life such that which is common to other people. And that you have given us power in that situation to walk away if it's a temptation of the flesh, or if it's a temptation like we're describing today, the courage that we need to go through that hour but we would lay down our lives for him, just as he laid down his life for us. Lord, maybe this is why it's a narrow road, and few there are that find it, because the cost is indeed great. Give us the courage. Give us the resolve. Yea, Lord, give us the opportunity to bring glory to your name, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name.